Thank you again, Emma and Nigel, for worship. We do look forward to when we can actually be together live as such. Good morning once again. We are back in Ephesians 6, start at verse 10, where we've been looking at the armour that God has given us to fight spiritually. Let me read these portions of scripture again, just to refresh our memory. Finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Paul instructs us to put on the full armour of God. There's imagery here, isn't there? When Paul is writing this, he's directly thinking, I believe, about the soldier that's in front of him, that we have been given weapons and armour to wear so that we can be protected and that we can stand our ground. He says, put on the full armour of God in verse 11 so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In 13 he says this, therefore put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, verse 14, stand firm then. And we looked at the belt of truth, having truth buckled around your waist and everything tucked into it so there's no loose ends. And with the breastplate of righteousness, have our hearts protected by righteousness. It's in place. And then it goes on in verse 15, and I want to speak briefly about this if I can. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let me just read that again, because like you, I've read this portion of scripture many, many times before. And when you're preparing to say a few words about the spiritual armour that God has given us, the resources that we have, you tend to look a little bit more closely. And it says, and with your feet fitted. Now, when something is fitted, it's fit for purpose, isn't it? It's fitted so it actually fits the person in which it was intended for. If you have a fitted wardrobe, it will fit the space in which you want that wardrobe to go. If you have fitted shoes, then they fit your feet. With the readiness to be ready for, to be fully equipped for the potential of whatever may come before us. That comes from the gospel of peace. And we all know what the gospel is, don't we? Amen. If I may just indulge just for a few moments, can I share with you one or two things about shoes growing up? Just as I was looking through this, I was reminded of a part of my own childhood and into my adult life to do with shoes. And there were many times in my young life and in my young adult life where I either had shoes or boots that were too small or too big. So I've written one or two things down. I just want to share them with you to get the picture of why it's important to have the right fitting shoes. I've written down here, when I was young, I had two pairs of shoes. I can remember when I first started school, I had two pairs of shoes. One pair of shoes were for school and one pair of shoes were for me to play in. And needless to say, one pair of shoes had holes in and the other pair didn't. We did have good shoes for school, and they were, at that time of growing up, from what I can remember, well fitted. They were Clarks, and we used to have them measured just before we would get them. In my teens, I used to share a pair of boots with a friend. Growing up, we had very little money as a family, and boots were very expensive, and there's a pair of boots that I particularly liked which were called Airwear boots, and they were very expensive, and I couldn't afford a pair, but my friend, one of my good friends, could. And so we used to share them. I'd have them 1 week and he'd have them the next week. I used to play rugby at school, and I can remember very, very clearly, and I've told this story many times over my ministry. I used to play rugby, and many people in our team were like me. They couldn't afford rugby boots. And I never, ever owned a pair of rugby boots or football boots with the studs in, which would stop you from slipping. Very rarely could we afford the right boots that were fit for purpose. And I used to play rugby, and we played a school called Sewham Village College. It was a college school in Sewham. And we was on the pitch. We were dressed in light blue and white. And then all of a sudden we heard this noise of studs hitting the tarmac as the school that we were about to play marched out all in unison. And when they came out, I can remember now, I can see them now. They were in yellow and black stripes like bumblebees, making a buzz as they come down the field. And if I'm totally honest, at that point, I felt defeated already. They were dressed as if they were already winners. And that's an image that stayed with me right until my right through my young years and into my adult years now. They had the right kit. They had the right boots fit for purpose. When I started full-time work, there were many times that I would place polythene bags inside my work boots because the boots, the leather of the boots would be nice and supple, but the soles of the boots would wear out very quickly, and therefore there'd be holes. So I couldn't wear them in the winter because they would soak up the rain, the wet, the water. So I used to put polythene bags in my boots, and that happened for many, many years until I could afford not to do that. And so now I know the importance of good fitting footwear and the importance of having the right fit for purpose footwear. Paul is saying, put on the shoes that are fitted so that you can take your stand. And one of the things that I used to dismiss very quickly growing up, when I looked at my finances and thought, well, should I buy this pair of shoes or that pair of shoes? And I used to go for something that was maybe more fashionable than more practical. Now I make sure that I, when I purchase a pair of shoes, they are fit for purpose and they are comfortable and they fit me. And so when we look at this image that Paul has given us, and he says here, with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Remember, Paul's not telling us to go looking for a fight. He's telling us to be able, he's articulating to us in a way that he's saying God has given you the right equipment, the right armor to wear so that you can stand and stand firm. So this is about having the right clothing for the job. And here we're talking about the gospel of peace. The shoes that are represented here is the gospel of peace. In Romans 10:14, how then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one to whom they have not heard? Good question. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. And we go into Isaiah, and this is where that portion comes from. How beautiful it says, Isaiah 52 verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet that of those that bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings and proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. And if you read that portion of scripture in Isaiah, it's talking about the messenger would be a man that would be specifically identified, who was strong and agile and fast. And he would bring good news. He would take the good news to the people how sovereign their Lord was. He would bring a message to say that we've won. He would bring good news. And when Paul is talking, he's talking to us, the church. The good news is the news about Jesus Christ. The good news is the gospel And Jesus Christ is that gospel. That's what Paul is saying. We have been clothed in righteousness. We've been given the shoes of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. In Romans 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We stand, church, because we have peace with God. And what is that peace that Paul is talking about? We have probably, most of us, heard the hymn, Peace Like a River Flowing. What is it to have peace? When we look in the secular world, it could be to be in a room where there's no noise, it's just silence. That could be peace to some people. Peace to some people is when their children have gone off to school. Peace to some people is when they're at work. Peace to some people will mean one thing, and to other people it will mean another. But I heard a very good illustration, which illustrates the peace that Paul is talking about. If you just imagine there's a canvas, and on that canvas is a picture, a painting of a beautiful scenery with hills, and the sun is shining and there's a stream trickling by, the waterfall you can hear in the distance very, very faintly, and in the tree is a bird, and that bird is singing, and there you are in that moment and you just feel peace. I don't think that's the peace Paul's talking about. If you take the same artist and he draws a picture of a hillside, and the trees are blowing backwards and forwards, and the storms are raging, the wind is blowing fiercely, and instead of it being bright and sunny, it's dark and it's dingy, and there's turmoil all around, and in that same tree is that same bird singing. That's peace, when you can still sing the song of the Lord while you're in the storm. The peace that the Bible talks about, that we as Christians have, is that peace that when everything rages around us, all is well with my soul. That we have made peace with God. That we are right with God. That's the peace that Paul is talking about. That's the peace that we have as Christians. It's good, I believe, to be reminded of these foundational truths, these foundational doctrines about the spiritual warfare that the Bible instructs us to fight in a way that we don't fight each other, but it's a spiritual battle, isn't it? And God has given us that belt of truth. Without truth, we will fall. He's given us that breastplate of righteousness, that we know we have a right standing with God. And we also know that God wants us to be a holy people, to purge ourselves of sin on a regular basis, to say, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness that I have eternal life, but Lord, help me to live a life worthy of you. And he's given us shoes of the gospel of peace. The gospel is Jesus Christ, and the peace is that we've been made right and we have peace with him. Scripture, it encourages us on a regular basis, if we choose to read it on a regular basis. It will encourage us Christians. Yes, we will stumble at times, but if we have the right shoes on, we will not fall. And if you think about the shoes of the Roman soldier, now many battles are won and lost on footwear. Even now, even in conflicts in the last 50 years, battles have been won and lost because of footwear, having the adequate and the right equipment. There's been recent wars where the opposing armies have been defeated because they've been demoralized. They've not had the right nutrition. They've not had the right combat uniform. And Paul knows that as a Roman soldier, they were given footwear that was fit for purpose. It would be like a half boot, a sandal, which was strapped around the bottom part of their leg, their ankle, and it would be thick leather, and into that leather would be hammered cleats, you know, pieces of metal that would be like studs on a rugby boot, so that they could be flexible, fast, but sturdy, and they were all-terrain shoes. They were fit for purpose. And the Roman soldiers, when they were marching, could be seen from far off because they were marching in unison, just like that rugby team, because they had the right footwear that was fit for purpose. And Paul is saying to us as Christians, you have been given the right footwear, fitted just for you. It fits you perfectly. It's the shoes of the gospel of peace. My peace I give you, the Lord says. My peace I leave with you. We don't just have peace from God, we have the peace of God that surpasses. That peace that surpasses all understanding, that's the peace we're talking about. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. Now, do you think that these early Christians didn't know what Paul had said? That they wasn't fully aware of the transformation in their lives? That no longer did they have to follow the law? That the law had been fulfilled through Jesus Christ? And through putting their faith in Christ and Christ alone, that salvation was theirs? Their sins had been washed away? That this gospel message had given them peace with God? Of course they did. But Paul did this on a regular basis. I want to remind you, he says, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. When we take a stand as Christians, when Paul speaks the way he does, he's saying, stand and stand firm on the gospel that you've received. Verse 2, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, Paul says. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you. As of first importance, that Christ died for all our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gives us peace. That's what we should put on a regular basis. So as Paul is talking to us about a spiritual army, a spiritual armor, should I say, as Paul is talking to us about a spiritual warfare that we're in, then surely we should be reminded that we're in a battle on a daily basis. And Paul has given us the armor to wear to be prepared. To stand firm. So when the day of evil comes, we are ready. Just like I mentioned some time ago, and I like this imagery for myself, I use it many times. Just like David was prepared when he went to serve his brothers on the front line. He was prepared with what? I'm glad you asked me. He was prepared because he'd had the experience that he needed to fight when the fight was in front of him. When the bear and the lion came, he was experienced enough to defeat the bear and the lion. When God spoke, he was experienced enough to discern his voice. And when the battle was in front of him, when the enemy was there, he was already ready in the armor of God. He had that spiritual armor on. Yet as a young shepherd boy, he would have been dressed very, very different to the Roman centurion, the Roman soldier. He would be dressed very different for those that were on the battle line, who were afraid for their lives. He was dressed in the righteousness of God. He had the belt of truth buckled around his waist, and on his feet was the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. So when the fight was there, he was ready to take it on. I want to read from Revelation 6, verse 10. I put this portion of scripture in for us for one reason. I'll explain why. They called out in a loud voice, God's people, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? How long will it be, Lord, until you judge the earth? How long, sovereign Lord? You see, we talk about a battle, we talk about an adversary, we talk about the devil ranging around like a roaring lion. We talk about, but we're not defeatist, are we? We need to be reminded, I believe, that God is sovereign and we are his children. The battle has already been won. The devil has already been defeated. His eternal resting place or unresting place has been determined. But in the meantime, he's there to try and rob, steal, and destroy. And God has said, in the meantime, between now and then, I want you to stand your ground, church. But I've not left you abandoned. I've not left you orphaned. Remember, you've been adopted into my family. And I've given you the weapons of warfare. Put them on. So today, let's be reminded to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. The gospel is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is what we have when we've accepted that gospel and we know we're right with God. In Luke 1 verse 77, give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercies of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. You know, one of the things that I have a privilege of doing as a minister is to take funerals. And it's not always a good place to be, is it? Standing in front of people who are hurting and mourning the loss of a loved one. It's a lot better when you're standing in front of people who are mourning the loss of a loved one who is an eternal, heavenly perspective. Someone who's believed in their lives that Jesus is their Lord and Saviour. In other words, when you take a funeral of a Christian, they have stood in peace and they have died in peace. Even though darkness may be all around them, they have that peace that I spoke about, peace like a river. You have that peace that we can't fathom or understand, but they have that peace with God. When all around them is raging, they have that peace with God. Like it says in Luke 1:79, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the paths of peace. O death, where is your sting? That's only Christians can ask that question and know that answer. We have a peace that transcends all understanding, don't we? Paul is giving us an image here of shoes. We need to put that peace on so that when the enemy comes to try and rob, steal and destroy, we can stand our ground, knowing that we have peace with God through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I just want to share a couple more scriptures with us as we do have time. And in Luke 2 verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. Peace on those on whom his favour rests. Christian, that's you and me. The peace of God rests upon us because we have favour with him. What an awesome God that we serve. I want to encourage us through these days of not being able to do the things that we're used to doing. To be able, we're in these days of reevaluating what's important to us and knowing that our Redeemer lives and we have peace with him. Just remember when you put your shoes on in the morning, just remember what Paul is saying. From a spiritual standpoint, when you put the shoes of the gospel of peace on, it will help you to stand in the day of evil. And that's what these messages are about. They're about us as Christians being fully equipped. See, God didn't leave us unequipped, did he? He didn't leave us on our own. He gave us everything we need. The choices are ours to make. Let's put on the armour that he's given us. In Luke 7 verse 48 and 49 and going on to 50, it says this. Then Jesus said to her, this is a woman here, and all the people around this female, all they see is sin. When they look at her, they see a sinner. They don't acknowledge her presence only when she comes into the presence of the Lord. And then they're indignant. They see a woman that is not fit for purpose, a woman that shouldn't be where she is. And it goes on to say this in 48. Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Verse 50, Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Go in peace. See, what happens in our lives is, without Christ, and we're not fully aware of this until we find him, without Christ, we are not at peace. Everything is raging around. Nothing makes sense. We try to earn our friendships, don't we? We try to do the right thing in our own strength. But when we accept that we are sinners, and we, like this woman, come before the throne of God, we acknowledge that we are sinful, but we also acknowledge that he is merciful and forgiving. And Jesus said the same to us, didn't he? "Your sins are forgiven." And he gave us that same gift that he gave this woman. "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Go in peace. Go in peace. In John 16, verse 33, it says this: "I have told you these things so that in me," this is Jesus speaking, "you may have peace." Read what it says, what Jesus is talking about in John 16. Just read what he says here. And then he goes on to say, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." One of the things when we look through the gospel, the true gospel, the gospel of peace, when we look through the true gospel, the true doctrines that Jesus brought, the doctrines that the apostles taught, when we look through the gospel, the full gospel, nothing was hidden. Jesus didn't tell us or them that when they believed in him, everything would be fine. He did say that you would have peace. But listen, you will have peace in this world. You will have trouble. But take heart, Christian. I've added the Christian bit. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Let me read that again. This is how we should read this portion of scripture, all of us. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world." If Christ has overcome the world, that makes you an overcomer. Amen? We're over, not under, our circumstances. I'll leave you with this final scripture in Ephesians 2, starting at verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Remember that. By the blood of Christ. "For he himself is our peace." He himself is our peace. So when we read Ephesians 6, verse 10, or go into verse 15, which we were reading today, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, Jesus Christ is your peace. Put him on afresh today. He fits you perfect. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for that peace that we have in you. We thank you, Lord, that when all around us rage, as we think upon what you've done for us, as we are covered by your blood, Lord, we walk in that peace that you've given us, ready to share the good news about you with others. So help us, Lord, to be your ambassadors, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.